But prior to this acknowledgement of disease, you think of the world as a something. You objectify it as a place, as a circumstance, as a material event, and yourself also. You imagine that the world is a massive, solid, physical process, and that even your thinking and so forth is somehow produced by chemicals. And you go on living that sort of solid, muscular life until you begin to suffer. And you can't be blithe and naive any longer. And with this sort of a breaking up that suffering produces comes a tacit awareness that the world is not physical in nature, but psychophysical. And all of the spiritual and religious traditions are essentially based upon the acknowledgement that the world is a psychophysical process, not a physical one. The world itself, not you only, not man only, but the world, this stuff, this universe, is a psychophysical process whose essential foundation is conscious then. And all of the imagery of God and or whatever other kinds of language developed within a tradition appear based on this original supposition. You become more and more sensitive to this the more released you are into a fuller sense of your own existence. When you cease simply mechanically to move about and do what you do and get it on in purely vital terms, but are opened up through failure, through suffering, through insight, and the world begins to seem very different to you. The more psychic you become, the more conscious you become, the more obvious it becomes that the world is also of that nature. And you begin to move into a psychic relationship to the world, not just a physical one. The profundity of this awareness varies from person to person. But the possibility of sadhana exists truly only in that instant when the world ceases to be so solid and when you are no longer obsessed. You may be still moving with your life, but no longer obsessed with it as something ideal and perfect. The whole form of existence has become loose. Its definitions are not so clear. And all kinds of experiences may begin to occur in a person, in this case, all of which tend to make him more in awe, feel more mystery, even drive him a little batty. In which the world becomes like dreams, and in fact it is. We we're so used to our conventional objectification of things that we forget that we don't live within a defined world. Everybody has seen photographs of the Earth, and they think that that's it. Then, you know, it's, well, it's a something then. But the world is a realm, such as the one into which you enter in dreams. Where is that place in dreams? What is its size? The world is exactly of that kind. But it's... you are timed with it, associated with it in such a way that it seems much more formidable. You see the subtle and dream worlds briefly and confusedly because you basically rest in this one. But when you begin to suffer life, you see that it corresponds exactly to your requirements. Things happen to you, so-called good and so-called bad, exactly in time with your tendencies. Things are always testing you, not fulfilling you, because there is equal force to the positive and negative. But when you begin to see the world as a realm rather than as a place, a fixed something to which you are attached, it becomes much more amusing then. Relative to the work of our ashram, for instance, what is the meaning of the notion of saving the world? What is that world? It's just as absurd as saying that you're going to go back into your dream world tonight and save it. Because we got this fixed idea of the Earth, it's got a certain population and all of that, we can imagine everybody believing and doing the same thing and belonging to the same organization and all that nonsense. There are infinite numbers of beings, infinite numbers of possibilities, changes, and it's all an illusion. Then when you wake up, you have no concern for the dream world. Having awakened, you have no inclination to save anybody that you met in dreams. Or to be saved yourself. The gorilla can chase you all night. You wake up in the morning, no gorilla, no threat. Who cares? Well, the beginnings of the possibility of sadhana, also growth in more or less conventional terms, are when suffering moves you into the psychic position in which you acknowledge your own psychophysical nature, not just physical nature, and also begin to have a sense of the psychophysical nature of the manifest worlds. And everything begins to break up and loosen. At that point, a whole new kind of life can begin with all kinds of episodes and adventures, self-exploitation and so forth. But contained within the seed of that change is a possibility for real sadhana or for God realization, contained within that acknowledgement of suffering is the possibility of knowing the guru. And when the guru is met, then your adventure is pinned down.